In recent days, we had the opportunity to sit down and talk at length with the president of the National Farmers Union, Roger Johnson, about a variety of subjects. And we wanted to wrap up our conversation with the president of NFU today, talking farm policy issues, starting with providing cotton producers a little bit of help through what you might call kind of a backdoor technique.
USDA did throw a bone to the cotton industry with this cost share ginning program.
Yeah.
That has to be, I think, at least a positive for at least short term.
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, the danger here when we start talking about cotton is that people think, well, that's where all the problem is economically. And as most folks out in the country know, is cotton farmers are struggling. So are most other farmers right now. And the way the farm bill was written, according to the lawyers at USDA, is it did not give them the authority to treat cottonseed as an oilseed. We're not going to get in the middle of that legal fight. Some members of Congress disagree. They think it does, but you know, it is what it is. And so we weighed in a long time ago in support of treating cottonseed oil as an oil seed so there could be some additional help that was provided. And so this latest announcement from USDA is absolutely a positive thing. I mean, it is at least some offer of help in very difficult economic times. And our bigger concern, because as a general farm organization, sure, we've got a lot of cotton growers, but we got all kinds of farmers and ranchers, you know, of all sizes, shapes, and types. And we're worried about sort of the overall ag economy and what that looks like. And folks who aren't in the day-to-day business of this maybe don't understand the gravity of what's going on. The net farm income is down more than half in the last 3 years. That's a huge drop. Mm-hmm. That's like the average guy who's out there on a salary taking a 50-60% pay cut. In fact, I would argue it's worse than that, because that net farm income isn't just what farmers have to use for their family living, which would be sort of like what you'd use a salary for. It's also what they have to use to pay debt back with. And it's what they have to use to make improvements mm-hmm. in machinery, equipment, buying new assets, et cetera, in order to keep the farm operating into the future. And so that's a huge shock. Now, it's certainly true that income was higher than normal 3 and 4 years ago. We went through a boom period here where crop prices are very strong, livestock prices are very strong. But what happens when you have the market up there is the cost side comes up immediately behind the market. So fertilizer costs go up, your chemical costs go up, your seed costs go up. Everything goes up following that market based on what the market determines is the farmer's ability to pay. And then when the market price falls, those costs get really sticky. They stay high for a long while, and then they grudgingly, gradually come down. That's the painful process that we're going through right now, is you're starting to see land rents and land values starting to fall. You're seeing a lot of strain in the machinery and equipment sector because farmers they're just going to quit buying that stuff. I mean, they don't have the money to do it. And so these cycles are very painful. And this one is different than we've had in other ones, because we've always had a farm bill that was sort of countercyclical in nature, that sort of if we had too much production out there that was depressing prices, we had incentives for farmers to reduce production. We don't have that anymore in any of the farm legislation that we've got in front of us. There's no support for doing that kind of stuff anymore. And so our only hope to get prices back up is for someone to lose crops in a big way, either in this country or somewhere around the world. That's what's going to drive this. And that's what makes the RFS a bigger deal, because as EPA cranks back on that, that means there's less demand for those crops that are going into the renewable fuel standard, and that depresses corn prices even further, and along with corn price, all commodity prices come down with it. So that's just the nature of the industry. So we're worried about, what's the overall economic outlook here for agriculture? And most economists now are saying it's pretty negative for the long haul.
Politics, real quickly. We've obviously got at the top of the ticket going to have a presidential race, so we'll have new players at USDA in all likelihood, and some significant changes as we get into the regulators on downstream. Congress, the players that are elected this go-round likely to be front and center and right in the next farm bill.
Yeah.
Pretty important election for rural America.
Yeah, it is. And it's and it's a less predictable political environment than we've had in pretty much my lifetime of paying attention to this stuff. And so that's a whole nother level of uncertainty. As we look towards the next farm bill, I suspect and I hope that there's going to be a lot more focus on, okay, what's the economic condition for family farmers and ranchers out there in the country? And what kinds of programs can we have to help them? You know, in this last farm bill, a lot of folks out in D.C., they know that Farmers Union, we tend to lean more to the left and Farm Bureau more to the right. We're both officially nonpartisan, and we're proud of that. But interestingly, in the last farm bill, we ended up working more with the House Republicans in writing the farm bill than the Senate Democrats. And so we and Farm Bureau are kind of on opposite sides of traditionally. And it is because our concern has always been that the fundamental part of a farm policy is to provide a safety net for difficult times. Mm-hmm. And so those difficult times are either when you have disaster strike, that's why you have programs like crop insurance and livestock disaster programs. And when markets collapse, that's why you have programs like the PLC program that's going to be out there to help provide some level of price protection to farmers. The Senate took a different approach. They went more with this sort of ARC county approach, which was predominantly, you get a payment if the market fluctuates a lot over, but if you end up in a steady downtrend, that payment is going to disappear with time. Whereas under PLC, you end up in a steady downtrend, your payment's going to pick up a little as the market gets worse. Mm-hmm. And that, in our way of thinking, is a more important attribute, because it's what farmers need in order to survive in those difficult times. So, my expectation is maybe this next farm bill, maybe there'll be a little more focus on the PLC kind of thing to provide that more predictable kind of protection when markets collapse. But we'll see. I mean, I do think crop insurance is still very popular, but it will be a target in Congress because it's the most costly of all the pieces of the farm bill, aside from the nutrition title, which is the biggest chunk. And that's where the knives are going to be out for crop insurance, and we're going to have to be really vigilant in making sure that that gets protected. And there are some parts of crop insurance that don't work as well in these down markets either, because crop insurance is predominantly now, these are revenue products. And so, if your price of wheat dropped 50% from what it was 3 years ago, your guarantee under that crop insurance policy just went down 50% too. And so that's a problem in these low price years. You don't get the same level of protection that you used to be able to get.
NFU President Roger Johnson. And I'm Ron Hayes on the OklahomaFarmReport.com.